Programming sponsored by Charity Mobile. Life is calling. Take it with you. More information at charitymobile.com.
You know you're supposed to live and practice the works of mercy and help others in need wherever you encounter them, and you encounter them everywhere. So it can be overwhelming to do something that actively and directly helps people in major ways, or even figure out how and where to start. Then we see a Good Samaritan and say, oh, that's what it means. I'm Sheila Logminas. Time for a closer look.
Together like family, turning a hotel bathroom into a makeshift kitchen, digging deep into their pockets and picking up the tab for 60 hotel rooms for homeless men and women during this cold snap. Candace Payne started it all impulsively charging 20 hotel rooms on her American Express card after realizing how dangerous this week's sub-zero temperatures would be for the Chicagoans without homes. She posted about it on social media, and soon the donations and offers to help bring food came flooding in.
We don't get that type of help, and I really needed them at that point, so they's like, they came right in time.
They hugged and said thanks, touched by all the kindness, the likes of which they say they've never seen before in their lives.
A closer look on Relevant Radio.
Isn't that something? Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. You probably heard that story somewhere in the news you consume across that spectrum of news, because it's been everywhere. I first found it right when it happened, the day of or the day after it happened. First found it in the New York Times. And it's a story about a woman in my hometown of Chicago, right around the time we were facing that dreadful polar vortex that was forecast and forewarned for at least a couple of days ahead of time and brought an almost apocalyptic atmosphere around here ahead of the Arctic one. She's a businesswoman, so people were hunkering down, right, getting their supplies in, making provisions for their home and family and workplace, and businesses were closing and sending out notice to their clients. Some of them would be doing, like, office businesses, doing business from home on their computers. That's the kind of things people were doing. But meanwhile, a businesswoman, as you just heard, knew a whole lot of people in Chicago live in tents on the streets in certain sectors of the city. And she knew they were in danger, because a lot of people exposed to that were going to be in serious danger. So she went out and did something about it. She's a businesswoman, and she's the one that all the media started focusing on. When Candace Payne met the dangerous weather ahead of time and rounded up people and got them safe. Candace Payne is a Chicago real estate broker and model of the Good Samaritan we all should be. Candace, thank you for being here today. You are in media demand right now. Is that throwing you for a loop? And are you surprised by all the attention this got?
Oh, my God. That's so overwhelming. And I'm still trying to come to grasp with it, because I was just helping. Get all this attention and this airplay for just helping someone. It's been a whirlwind, unbelievable. But
to people, Candace, you probably realize this, maybe because you have this enormous heart and you understand what a work of mercy is, and what we need to do for each other. Maybe by now you still are shaking your head and say, "But I still don't get it." But what is so obvious to me is that this is because you did so much. When you say, "I was just helping," but people look at your story. And you went and put on your credit card hotel rooms at an inn in Chicago. You went out and got care packages of toiletries. And tell us, what was the moment that sparked that, the inspiration, and what was the impetus that made you go out and act on that?
I mean, just like you gave a great introductory about the polar vortex. Now, I've been living in Chicago, and I heard that the last time we had one was in 1985, and that's when I was born. So I've never experienced the polar vortex. And after Googling the polar vortex and seeing that, you know what, this is something deadly, shut my businesses down. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to just sit and chill in the house. Then I got to thinking, like, well, what about the people who don't have a home to go to, whose house is outside? Like, what are they going to do tonight? And it was a no-brainer to call around the hotels, see if I can secure, my thing was 20 rooms. 20 rooms for one night should help. You know, I can't help everyone, but it should help some people, right? And as I got all this pushback from these hotels, one hotel accepted me. The pushback from the hotel, they didn't want them. So this one hotel, Amber Inn, that accepted me, the manager said, you know what, no problem, anything you want. Mm-hmm. So I initially wound up securing 30 rooms on my credit card. You know, and she was super nice about it. And it went from there. I put the post out on Instagram because I only got one truck. Like, how am I gonna get all these people to this room and in the midst of hours? So this is on a Tuesday night. Tuesday morning. I put the post up, and the post basically said, hey, I just secured 30 rooms for the homeless. I need help transporting them there to the hotel. I'll pay anyone with a van. And if you'd like to help, it costs $70 a night to sponsor the room, and that will be with a meal. And it went completely viral. Like, one person, they reposted it, which was Keisha, and she had a bigger following than me. So her post went viral, and everyone else just heard me. And start reposting at me, DMing me, hey, I don't have a van, but I got a truck. I can fit 3 people. I can fit 5 people. I can fit 6 people. And we all met at Tent City.
Wow. And for those who aren't in Chicago, I mean, this is where people literally camp out on the streets. And this is where they park themselves. They're not, you know, in the major areas you would go through in business districts of Chicago and the financial districts and this and that, the you know, sort of the plusher hotels and all that. But we in Chicago know where this is. And my guest, Candace Payne, certainly knew where they were. So, Candace, your thought was, oh, my gosh, I looked this up. This polar vortex is deadly. It actually is deadly for anyone exposed. And you know the people living on those streets, people in Tent City, were going to be dangerously exposed to the point of they could die. And so isn't that awesome, though, that you have this somebody you're connected with on Instagram who you have a large following, then you have this other friend with a larger following who, you know, continues to network through her people. And now, you, as I understand it, you had it not just your van and other people who said they could transport homeless people to the hotel, but you had a caravan of cars, SUVs, and vans with volunteer drivers.
Yep. And we all met down there. And initially, this was going to be a one-time, you know, one day. Mm-hmm. Get them out the polar vortex for one day. But with Chicago coming together, Chicago stand up. Because with the donations that we got, with people helping, pitching in, coming to donate their time, coming to donate items, we were able to provide them with 5 nights. 72 rooms that able to help over, I think the number was 122 people. And that's 3 meals, snacks, toiletries, you know, because we get that. This is unexpected. So we pick them up. We get to the hotel, and they're like, okay, you have any sanitary napkins? So we're like, oh, shoot. You got soap, deodorant? Like, we didn't account for all of that. And it's a motel, so they don't have all those amenities. So we had to make Walmart run. Also, and, you know, those donations, all of that allow us to accommodate them comfortably.
Wow. And to add to that, to tell our listeners, Candace, that what you did with your care packages, as it's referred to, you bought, as you said, toiletries, food, even prenatal vitamins, lotions, deodorants, and snacks, clean clothes. The people from Tent City are now in a warm place where they could lie on a bed and take a shower and have a bathroom, a real bathroom to go to. Restaurants donated trays of food. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
They donated trays of food. They came in, donated their time, helped us put these plates together. But not just Tent City. After we left Tent City, we drove around. We drove around to the Underwacker Drive. You know, it's a lot of them there. We drove around to the hospitals. We told the police, so they put it on their radio. They had police were dropping homeless people off at the hotel for us.
See, this is the community policing, by the way, when you bring that up, Candace, that nobody hears about. They just hear the bad news, and especially out of Chicago when there are shootings, unfortunately. That drives me mad. I mean, why can't we all as a community come together and do something to stop that or could cut way back on that and help people with that? But we have many causes. You went to the most immediate one because people's lives were in danger with the polar vortex. So as you say, let's repeat that. That's an important point. Candace, if you just tuned in, real estate broker Candace Payne in Chicago got, for starters, 30 hotel rooms for homeless people in Chicago in Tent City living on the streets during what was coming at that time, the polar vortex, severe, dangerous cold weather, not just snap. It was deadly. And she found out how bad that was going to be. So she went to where she knew that the need was. She got her own truck and then put it on Instagram, and her friend who had a large following on Instagram also regenerated that. And you all met at Tent City, right? With the vans and the other people who came to help. And this just kept generating, right? More people were learning about this as time went on, and they were meeting you at this Amber Inn in Chicago?
Yeah. I mean, as the story got out, we had so many people come up. People who just, they didn't even come to meet me. They just came to bring stuff and drop off and hand out. Because the Amber Hotel, it's a motel, so it's outside. So they just pull up with trucks of food and whatever else they were giving out to them. And it was us coming together for this cause. And, you know, a lot of times they are unforgotten, you know. They are forgotten. You just walk right past them. And what this has done for me subconsciously, it makes me be more aware of when I see them, I stop now. What is it that you need? You look at me like I'm crazy. This is the homeless. What is it that you need? Because they'll drop them some money and they'll keep walking.
Well, yes, exactly. See, that's exactly right. They're human. Look at them in the face. Look at them in the eyes. You know how often in the city, Candace, when I do that, if it's even contributing money or some meal tickets I have bought or whatever, the biggest reaction I always get is a beaming smile on the people's faces who are out there on the streets and the thank you or God bless you. But tell us anecdotally what happened when you first showed up to tell them, okay, listen, we've got some dangerous cold coming. I've got a place for you to go. They're used to living in these tents on the streets of Chicago. What was the first reaction?
So, exactly what you said. They're used to living in these tents. This is their home. This is their sanctuary. So, they don't want to go to warming centers and go to shelters where they're out in the open, where their things can get stolen. They don't like that. They'd rather weather out the storm right where they're at. So when I get there and let them know, hey, I got hotel rooms, you know, when I seen another act of kindness, I get there, I got hotel rooms. I seen the men trying to send the women only. We'll stay back and watch. Basically, we'll watch the fort. We'll watch all of our belongings. So we made three rounds to Tent City. So we took the women. We took some of like the men that were on crutches or that were sick. And we came back around, and we asked the others to come with us. And they're looking at us like, no, we don't know. Our things will get stolen. And I had to say, basically, it came to a point, it was so cold outside, my toes were frozen. I said, look, if someone steals it, I'll replace it. They looked at me, they grabbed their things, and they came.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, because I was getting cold. I'm like, look, I can't stand out here that much longer, and I don't know how you all are, but my toes was froze. My fingers, if I pulled my hand out of my coat to do something on my phone, I got blisters on my fingers. It's too cold for anyone to survive out there. And they thought that, yeah, I've survived through a lot of Chicago winters. This is nothing. But this was a totally different cold.
It was so bad. So in the open, when I said that, Candace, I was not, you know, joking. I wasn't finding a clever anecdote for this. I literally was saying to friends, you know, what we're all hearing around Chicago from each other, from the news media, people from just everybody, the atmosphere around here was not only cold. The atmosphere ahead of the polar vortex fully hitting was apocalyptic. You had the sense that like the end was near or something. It was going to get that bad. Mm-hmm. And people were that dug into, okay, I'm getting supplies. I'm doing this. I'm filling up my gas tank. I'm getting to the hardware store to get this and that, space heaters and you name it. But meanwhile, you're out there going out to the people on the streets who probably won't even survive if they don't get inside. So did you got those men away from all trying to safeguard their precious belongings out on Tent City, right? Telling them, I'll replace it if it gets stolen. Nobody's going to be out here stealing anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. And then, you know, some of them, they were still, they still didn't believe it. I had to go all the way to showing the hotel key rooms because they thought we were trying to take them to shelter just to get them out of there. And, I had to go all the way to showing them hotel key rooms. Now, we couldn't get everybody because people, you know, we couldn't. And we circled back around. One guy, I remember, and I begged him to come on, let's go. Circled back around, checked on him. One of the people was with us, checked on him. The ambulance just left, took him. He had frostbite on the whole side of his body. And he didn't even, you know, he didn't know, I don't know, but he would not come with us.
Well, that was risking his life. Isn't that amazing? They live on the streets, and yet they're afraid to go into a shelter. That's why when the city has warming centers for the really dangerous cold, people, and this has been for as many years as I can remember, Candace, in the city of Chicago, the people who are out there living that way don't want to go into the warming centers in the shelters because they're afraid of them. They're really afraid to be inside any enclosed space. They would rather be out on the streets.
Yeah, I think they if they're personal and people invading their personal space. I've heard stories of the shelters and all of that stuff. So they just don't want, especially the older ones, you know, they don't want to get taken advantage by the younger ones and all of that stuff. So they just rather weather it out in this space that they're in, which is their tent, because that's their sanctuary.
Well, this is amazing. If you just tune in again, Candace Payne is my guest. She's a Chicago real estate broker who provided food, fresh clothes, a place to stay, all sorts of toiletries, all sorts of things, food. I said to local, to 10th City in Chicago, people who lived on the streets, the homeless, who didn't have anything. Candace, I read in the New York Times article that you met two pregnant women among those you brought in and rescued from the cold. Also a family of five in the very first group of homeless people who went to the inn. Tell us about them and their reaction to you.
Well, you know, the family of five, so we had one organization that helped us, which was Feather Fist. And I guess they had gotten, you know, everyone was getting phone calls and getting, I guess, we'll call it tips on where people were so we can, you know, send them out. And I guess they got a tip on a family that was in a home that needed to kind of be rescued. They were inside of a home that had no heat. And it was five of them in there. It was children in there. So they were able to bring them back to the hotel. And while we were there, they were able to get them housing for 2 years. We have pregnant women. We have pregnant women there who were outside. And I do believe the Feather Fist were able to get one of the pregnant women housing also. And that would be for 2 years. So they completely, that organization helped us out. It helped us out tremendously. And, you know, like I said, they're just people, just getting to know them and understanding, you know, understanding them because I didn't ask the question, but what do they do once they have the baby? They, you know, what do they do if they have this baby on the streets? What do people do at that point? And from my understanding is then they'll be a lot more welcome to come into a shelter.
Well, and would they, do you have the sense they would also be willing to at that point because now they have a newborn?
I don't know.
Yeah. See, it just tells you how much they are used to their own environments. I also understand the Amber Inn being the one who said yes to you when you were first looking for those rooms and you got 30 immediately. And all the people who found out on social media started getting on board this campaign and of yours, personal campaign to help people. And that was doubled right away. And now there have been more since then. But I understand, Candace, that the Amber Inn, first of all, they were interviewed for this article. The manager said people from all over the community started piggybacking off you, Candace. She said, other people started calling and anonymously paying for rooms. So the Amber Inn then lowered the price to accommodate more people, and it just kept exponentially building on itself. It seems like this one-time thing is a fantastic story, and it continues for many people, but it seems like it's something that we should be able to write, Candace, generate into the future as not a new foundation or organization that you have to found or anything. You found it by doing it in the first place. But it seems like now that this has happened and people have come together in this way, there's got to be a way to keep it going.
Oh, absolutely. Me as an entrepreneur, all while I was there, you know, we think a little different. We are always looking to solve problems. So all while I was there, I'm like, okay, this is temporary. I still got to drop them back off to the street. What can I do to make more of a permanent impact? And I can use my passion for real estate. I fix and flip houses all over Chicago. I can use my passion for real estate and purchase multi-unit and house the homeless. And it came up with it, and I spoke it into existence. I got my team on board, and it's only been about 2 weeks. We've gotten property already donated to us. We've gotten land that will be donated to us. We're meeting with the alderman this week to put these plans into fruition. You know, we have two plans to do. We are going to buy the multi-units. We had them, fix them up, and house homeless. But then we also have what's called shipping container homes. That's like the new fad. You should Google it. They're really, really cool. But what that will do is provide sleeping quarters for them so they don't have to sleep on the street.
Wow. Shipping container homes. Yeah, I will look into that, because this is the part in the beginning with all this attention. I know you're still getting a lot. You're going probably all over the country. I know you've been in different studios on different programs, really well-known programs all across the media. But that's why people love stories like this. People are fighting in politics, and we're all tired of that. People are fighting with each other, and it's uncivilized out there in that social media world. But Candace Payne, you are showing us how we can use social media for the good. I mean, literally living like the gospel, because this is what we're supposed to, works of mercy. This is true social justice. The people have the right to be provided for, and it is our duty and obligation, those of us who can, and you showed us the way to be a good Samaritan. So now you've mentioned many people. You've mentioned people involved in other areas and your area, real estate, land, building. You're talking with an alderman. Earlier you mentioned that during the polar vortex, police even helped people get off the streets and transport it over to the hotel you got them. There are a lot of people involved in this. I would think that the city of Chicago would really want to get behind this and promote it in some way.
I wish they would, absolutely. And then, you know, I just want people to understand the misconception around of homeless people, because they think they're lazy, they don't want to work, they think that if they get close to them, they're going to harm them or they're going to rob them. And that's completely, completely incorrect. These people want to work. You know, I had some guys when we were there, they told me, they said, you know, we appreciate the room, but let us work for it. What can we do for you? And I'm sitting there looking at them like, I just need y'all to relax. You know, you all just relax. You don't have to let me out. This right here is about you guys.
Wow. And I love how you said earlier when you were talking about the actual polar vortex hitting and you going there saying, we've got to get you out of here. I have rooms for you. They're warm. There'll be food. There'll be clothing. And you were getting them in there. How you said, what do you need? What can I do for you? That is the best. I love that. Whether it's a hurricane hitting one of our coasts down south or wherever these things are happening, flooding, the helpers come along and don't ask them anything about politics or religion or anything. They ask them, what do you need and how can I help? Mm-hmm. And you, Candace Payne, you have done that. So what can people listening across the country, coast to coast right now, do to help you?
Well, I mean, of course, the plan that I do have is definitely going to take a lot of resources. It's going to take money to do this. I'm in real estate construction cost, but I'm not letting that stop me. If you are one, you can donate to this cause. My website is actionforacausenow.org. And it goes, you know, it tells you everything about the mission. But we are going to need help. We are going to need different resources to make this work.
So was that actionforacause.org?
Yeah, actionforacausenow.org.
Now, okay, got that. You know, I have another question. When I said, you know, the city of Chicago should definitely be behind this, but so should the broader country at large, because our nation really needs this. People talk about the call for civility. People talk about the need for unity. You're doing it. You're out there doing it. You're living, walking the walk and the talk. So I see that when you were doing all this, you said, this is a temporary fix, and it's inspired me to come up with more of a permanent solution. And then you got a call from new Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, thanking you and saying to you, mm-hmm. it's one of the biggest acts of kindness we've seen in a long time. And that was the very end of the New York Times article, which left me talking to the newspaper in my hands, Candace, saying, okay, Governor Pritzker, this is one of the biggest acts of kindness you've seen in a long time. Therefore, .. what? Mm-hmm. So what's, did the governor say he's thinking, this is making me think of programs or something I can do?
Yeah. No, hopefully he is thinking that. Hopefully he'll circle back around to me.
Well, you know what? We don't need to rely on politicians. It really is up to us. It's up to every one of us. So yeah. I know people are contacting you still, and you're still a realtor, but you have great many connections. You have been so kind to share your time with us today. I just love the pay it forward nature of this. You've been blessed with what you have, and so now you want to go out and give to others. And so are you still hearing from the people? I mean, are you still in touch with the people you helped?
Well, so of course, after this happened, I had to fly around. But yesterday, I was down here. We were feeding them Subway and talking to them, and you know, let them know the plans as to what's happening and what's coming up, coming forward. So they understand and they want to help. They want to be involved.
I'm going to stay in touch with you, Candace, and find out more so I can generate the awareness to our listeners. Candace Payne, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much.